various pets, alive and dead. Written by Marina Luica and read by Cyan Thomas.
We live in new times. The age of the hero is past. Now is the time of the non-virtuous man. Nikolai Gogol, Dead Souls, 1842. Part 1. Various Pets. Serge, the Mill. The whole world is deranged, though most people haven't noticed yet. Everything still looks normal. But when he breathes in, Serge can detect it, a faint whiff of madness in the air. It's 8 a.m. on Monday, the 1st of September, 2008. The London Stock Exchange has just opened, and all around him the traders are already getting stuck in. The trading floor at Finance and Trading Consolidated Alliance resembles a vast money mill where profits are turned on an industrial scale. The cavernous hall, with its six long face-to-face rows of desks, seats some 100 people, and on each desk a bank of flickering monitors registers minute by minute the restless surge and fall of the markets. The windows are darkened so that sunlight never bleaches out the monitors, and the ceiling is high enough to absorb the industrious hum of talking and keyboards clicking as trades are made. But in spite of this, the air inside has a dead quality, a scorched, sulphurous taint of hot plastic from hardware that has been running non-stop ever since it was installed. Because to pause or switch off even for a moment would be a moment in which you weren't making money. Along two sides of the floor are several glass-walled offices for the team leaders. The corner office at the far end of the north side is used by the quants, whose service, the securitization desk, reflecting their importance within the corporate hierarchy. The quantitative analysts are the six guys and one girl who are supposed to be able to take the riskiness out of risk with the wizardry of mathematics. The one girl is Marushka. From his desk, Serge can see her through the open door, swinging back in the swivel chair, feet up on the table, mobile phone pressed to her ear. No shoes, no tights. Her toenails bling-bling like rubies. She's talking in that outlandish, bubbly language of hers, and he finds himself listening when he should be concentrating on his screens. He's never composed poetry before, but then he's never felt so inspired. Princess Marushka, hear the song of Serge. Let our destinies converge on this something-something green and sunny, dark, satanic verge. Hey, Sergei! She sees him watching and wiggles four fingers in his direction. He leans in the doorway. Hey, beautiful princess from Where did she say she comes from? Did you enjoy your birthday on Friday? Very good, thank you. You okay? I think you have been very much drunk. You have fallen on the floor. Yeah, I got a bit wasted, but it was worth it to see you dancing on the table. It was a folk dance of my country. In Zhytomyr is normal behavior on birthday. She blows a kiss and turns away to re-engage with her phone call. You should put that thing away. You'll get into trouble if Timo sees you. Why for? Her legs are smooth and creamy pale, crossed at the ankles, the calves swelling where they touch, the curved contour of her knees blurring into shadow under the hem of her pale apricot skirt. D&G? Versace? The perfume she wears is earthy, musky, slightly feral. It borders on the repellent, but is in fact incredibly arousing. You're not supposed to use your personal mobile in here. Not supposed? She arches an eyebrow. In my country is normal. Everybody is doing it. It's a security thing? Because they have to keep a record of all phone calls, insider trading and all that. He leans in the doorway, his hands casually in his pockets. Does she realise how cool he is beneath his ironically geekish exterior?